Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 43 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast.
In this episode, I get a chance to talk to Jimmy Ho. He is the Smokin' Ho. If you follow barbecue at all, you know him, you know his travels, you know his blog. It's an incredible blog, very detailed. He takes amazing photos, and I just wanted you guys to get a chance to hear his background, hear his story. If you're kind of an aspiring barbecue writer or barbecue photographer or food writer, it's interesting to hear his progression and where he is today. He worked with Daniel Vaughn, the Texas Monthly staff, putting together the Texas Monthly Top 50. We talk about that. We also talk about a lot of tips on how to do proper barbecue runs and how to take great photos. And there's a wealth of knowledge. We're all over the place, yet focused. It's kind of the way I do these and the way it turned out. But I think you're going to really love this. Super informative. Thank you, Jimmy, for participating. Let me know what you think. Please subscribe. I'll be doing at least two or three of these per week. Enjoy. Well, good morning, Jimmy.
Morning.
How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I am doing well. Doing well. Got a busy day. I'm sure you do as well. A lot of people that I've spoken to and a lot of people that follow you are probably incredibly intrigued by what you do in your normal life, what you do, how you've gotten to where you've gotten today. So let's jump back. Were you born in Texas?
I was not born in Texas. I was actually born in, I was born in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio, which is Parma.
Okay.
And so yeah, my path is interesting, I would say.
So how did you get from there to Austin?
So my parents, my dad had allergy issues. He worked like at a car manufacturing plant. And so the cold and the sinus, he's like, let's go to somewhere warmer. And we had relatives in Houston. So we moved out to Houston. Actually, we moved to Katy. I think I live in suburbs all the time. I don't know why. But we moved out to Katy in 94. And then I went to school at UT. And that's how I ended up in Austin. Not necessarily Austin this entire time, but that's why I'm pretty much in Austin. Because I love, when I went to school here, I loved Austin. And for the most part, I still love Austin.
When you grew up, did you have a tradition of barbecue in your family? Were you guys, was your dad a live fire cooker, or did you guys cook outside, or no?
Yeah, they were terrible with the grill. Like every time, my dad would really never touch it because I don't think he knew how to use it. So my mom would actually try to use the grill, and we're just talking about like just a propane grill, and she would burn the shit out of everything, ribs, steak, and then also kind of growing up, I remember them loving to eat. Well, not necessarily loving, but they always ate well done steak. And when I think about them, like, that's what a terrible idea.
You know what's sad? So, I wonder if they could have, like, if we could figure out the percentage of people that love well done steak. And then if you could, I think you could turn them over.
Yeah, I think it's because they get freaked out with, like, red or pink or blood. I get it, but I'm sure it's a huge population. Because, like, if you ever notice, like, when Eater posts a picture of someone grilling or cooking or smoking something, they're like, oh, that's undercooked. I'm like, no.
Yeah, no, and my brother, like, I grew up in a family of meat eaters, like meat and potatoes, and my brother likes his fillets butterflied and well done. He just wants it seared. And, like, number one, he doesn't like fatty. Like, and there is a large population. So you grew up eating well done meat. When do you think you actually had your, do you even remember when you had your first medium rare or rare piece of meat?
I don't know, maybe 5 years ago? No. I think once I started to go to school, when I went to school, I didn't even really eat steaks because I was just one of those poor college kids. Yeah. But when we celebrated stuff, probably after college, I would think I would have ordered medium well, at least medium well. But I mean, I would say that in the last 5 years, I've ordered some medium rare or rare. So,
gotcha. And what did you study at UT?
Economics and business.
When you moved to Houston, did you start eating any barbecue there, or was it when you moved to Austin?
Well, so I've always wanted to eat barbecue because I know in Cleveland there's like a rib cook-off every year, and I've always wanted to go. And I think the 1 year we went, I think my parents expected a different – it was like more competition than anything. So it was completely different than what they expected, and I don't think I ate a rib that day at all, which was kind of sad. But I think my first memorable – not necessarily memorable, but I guess it's memorable because it's my first experience I can think remember – is when I rushed a fraternity, like my sophomore year of college, and the rush event was going to the Salt Lick.
Okay.
And so at that point, you know, I love meat. I love meaty stuff. I love salty stuff. And so when we went, I was like, wow, I'm in heaven. Plus, you know, I was underage. It was BYOB, so they brought a bunch of beer. So I think it made the experience even much better.
Definitely.
At that point, I'm like, wow, I love this stuff. I want to eat it all the time.
I forget. Like, I haven't been to Salt Lake in a long time. Is it? It's all you can eat every meat, right? And all you can eat sides, right?
You know, I think the all you can eat meat's still the Texas Trinity.
Oh, it is just that. Okay.
Yeah, but they also have turkey, beef ribs. I love the back beef ribs. Maybe chicken.
And at that time, did you take a photo of what you were eating, or did you?
I don't. At that time, I probably owned a digital camera, but I did not take a picture. We're talking about 2000 here.
I know. I'm just wondering, like, if, like, it's just so funny. It's what you do now. It's almost like a meal doesn't exist unless people take a photo of it. So I was just curious if I don't remember what it was like back in 2000. Like, I think I took photos of things, but not as often.
Yeah, the first time I think I took a picture of food, I can't even remember. I would think it would be like in 2005 when I got my first iPhone. Or like 2006 maybe. Whatever the second generation iPhone. I remember that's when I took a picture of food. It wasn't even barbecue. It was like tacos.
Yeah. And it still wasn't that easy to share it with people at that time. It was still drudgery.
Yeah, I shared it to Facebook and maybe got 2 likes.
So you moved permanently to Austin. And then when did you start going to more barbecue, exploring beyond Salt Lake? When did that happen, and what was that like? Were you just going because you got the bug, or was it something that you thought, you know, I need to go every weekend? Or?
Well, so I had Salt Lake, and then probably a few years later, either my junior or senior year, we started to go to Rudy's. So at that point, I was like, oh, Rudy's is awesome. Hindsight's funny, but at the time, I loved Rudy.
You're taking the logical step, though. That's right. That makes sense.
It's a logical step. Immerse your feet in Texas barbecue at Salt Lake. Then you go to Rudy's because there's, you know, 4 or 5 in Austin, well, somewhere in there in Austin. So we would always go there with my fraternity brothers. So I also lived in a fraternity house, and our fraternity house was, now I remember the restaurant, it's called Bongo's. It's no longer there because the owner died and the family sold the business. But they would always do 2-for-1 chopped beef on Mondays. So 99% of the Mondays I was there because A, it was cheap. It's good. I always went there. I think those are and maybe Ruby's. I'm trying to think. I had Stubbs a couple times, Ironworks. And this is I'm just referring to my undergrad days.
Yeah, no, and it sounds like those are all at the kind of not touristy, but kind of those are the first wave and first level of barbecue for people.
Yeah, I mean, I would say they're definitely like the iconic places that maybe started the Texas barbecue. I wouldn't say start to trend, but this is what Austin barbecue was at the time.
Yeah, and if you come in for a convention or come in for something, you probably would go to Ironworks. I think that would be
something. It was just around the block. Yeah. So just walk around there. But then I met my wife and she went to law school in Lubbock. Mm-hmm. So she went to Tech. So I moved there for a few years. I had barbecue a few times, I think Rudy's and maybe a couple chains, which is funny now because every time we go back to Lubbock, I always eat at Ebby Mae's. So the barbecue in Lubbock is probably 10 times better now. So.
Easily.
Yeah, easily. And then when she graduated from law school, we moved back to Austin. And that's where I wouldn't say it started. I didn't work a traditional schedule at the time because I worked at, I think, AT&T. Okay. And so I was off Thursdays. And she worked for the state doing unemployment law. And so every Thursday, I would try to go out and venture and try new things. And I think what really piqued my interest was waiting in line. I had a friend, well, I still have this friend, but he mentioned a place called Franklin off of 35 in a trailer in just a parking lot. And so he's like, hey, get there kind of early. They do, there's a line. So I got there at like 10:50 and waited 20 minutes. And I ordered, I think, brisket ribs and some sides. Okay. And I took it to my wife's office and we shared it. And I was like, when I bit into the brisket, I was like, holy crap, this is probably the best thing I've ever done in my life. And she agreed. She was like, this is fantastic. Because at the time, you know, when we moved back, I think we might have had Rudy's. I can't remember. Maybe I saw it like a couple times too. And so I'm like, this is something I enjoy and maybe I should try to find other places like that. So that's where my curiosity was definitely triggered. So there's another backstory to this.
Okay,
We got engaged. My wife and I got engaged. And then I wanted to lose weight. And so I started going to the gym. I started running. And so it took me a while to actually run a mile straight, because I remember back in high school, every year you had to run a mile around the track. Mm-hmm. I would sprint the first two laps and walk the two laps, last lap. So I had no idea how to pace myself. And so I started going to the gym, started running on a treadmill, finally got to 3 miles, like, cool, like 3 miles is probably a good 30 minutes or so. Then one day I was like, no, I'm gonna run as far as I can on a treadmill. I ran 7 miles, and then I was on this high. I was like, wow, I could maybe run a half marathon, maybe I can run a marathon. Right around the same time, my mom told me that my sister ran like 4 or 5 marathons. So I'm competitive here, and I was like, holy crap, I need to catch up. So I started training for a half marathon, and I ran that in a respectable time. The idea was to run under 2 hours and not walk. Ran under 2 hours and will not walk. So I felt like I achieved something. And then I was like, you know, if I can do this, I can run a marathon. So I joined a marathon running group, and you had to pay, because what happened is they give you a schedule, and there's a couple runs you meet with them every week. Like you would run around the track to build your speed, and then a long distance run where it's supported. So there's water stops, there's maps, you know, how many miles, you know, every week you have to run. And so I had paid for it. My wife wanted me to have the structure so I didn't get injured. And so during the running training process, someone reached out to me, hey, do you want to write about your running experience so you can get a discount next time? Oh. And so I was like, okay, might as well. You know, running was something I love, and wouldn't mind, you know, running for free next time, or running for half off of whatever it was at the time. So that's where I guess I started running, and I enjoyed it, because like back then the only time I ever wrote was for like an English class. Mm. Hated it, but I actually just enjoyed writing it.
Were you writing for their site, or did you create a blog?
It was for their site at the time. And so right around when we got married, we also moved out to Kyle, which is just a little bit south of Austin. Okay. And which is only 15 minutes from Lockhart. Okay. So we started going Lockhart quite frequently. So we went to Blacks, Middies, Crides, Chisholm Trail, probably once a month at least. Oh. And so a lot of my friends were like, oh, you love barbecue. And they didn't, you know, obviously I was writing. And then I transitioned the writing from their site to my own site. Because I wrote probably, I wouldn't say quite frequently, but at least every quarter, if not more. Because I would run quite a few races. Because for a while, I was running probably 2,000 miles a year.
Wow, that's a decent amount.
And at that time, I loved it because I could eat whatever I want. I wish I had the time and probably the motivation to do the same. I might try to pick it up soon. So then right around the time, we were like, hey, why don't you just start a barbecue blog? And so at that point, Daniel Vaughn, I don't know why I put the emphasis on Daniel, got his Texas Monthly gig. And then I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I'm going to a barbecue blog. Got a writing gig, or at least a cool gig to me. In my eyes, it was a cool gig. I still think it still is.
Were you checking out Full Custom Gospel Barbecue at the time too? Were you checking out Daniel's blog?
I think at the time I started following him, probably a few months. I don't even know how I even knew about him. I knew that his book came out, or maybe it was his book that I can't remember. Yeah. I bought his book. I remember that.
But it all kind of came at the same time ish.
Roughly. So. So I think that was 2013, early 2013 when started to falling into place for him. And so at that time my interest started to peak. So in June of 2013, I was like, hey, you know what, let's do a barbecue blog. And that's how it started, because, you know, running, trying to lose weight, and then my love of barbecue started to increase after Salt Lake and Franklin.
That's so interesting. Do you remember your first blog post? Do you remember the first place you went to on your post?
Well, my first blog post was an intro, like how did I end up this place? Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if I went into that much details. Mm-hmm. I might have. I can't remember. Yeah. I might have it up. And then like how at the time I also tried smoking meat at home, because going out the locker, I was like, you know what? I can try to replicate this. And when I think about it, it turned out crappy. I remember my first brisket, and my wife got me an electric smoker because I was lazy. I didn't want to tend a fire. And at the time it was too expensive to buy a pit. But now I can buy whatever I want. But that being said, I would remember just loading. So, you know, the electric smoker has a water pan, mm-hmm. And then this little electrical whatever component. Yeah. And then there's like a lot of rocks to kind of hold in the heat a little bit. And you can throw wood chunks in there to get the smoke. And I remember throwing all the wood I can. So the brisket would come out black, which now when I think about it, it's probably a bad thing what I did. And then also the first brisket I cooked, I didn't really follow the instructions. I didn't Google anything. I didn't watch any YouTube. I was like, you know what? Let's shoot for 160. That's how you a well-done steak. It was terrible. I remember throwing the brisket. What I should have ultimately done was Google it, figure out what happened, and then just re-throw it back in the oven and just bring it a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. And then it might have turned out – because I remember the flat turned out fine because the flat ate like a steak, a little chewy. Mm-hmm. But the point was – garbage.
Yeah. Well, did you even know how to cut it properly?
No.
Yeah.
I think I just hacked the crap out of it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I know that the first time I had a brisket to cut, I was terrible. Just terrible. So after you were cooking brisket yourself, well, you're cooking a little bit on the side. You started your blog. When did you start to get any momentum? And were you the smoking hoe at the beginning? Is that...
Yeah, so my blog has always been the smoking hoe, but right around the same time, because I was writing my blog, my running blog was the running hoe. I'm not very creative when you think about it. I just transitioned the running hoe to the smoking hoe. So my Twitter was the running hoe for a long time.
Okay.
And then at that point, I think probably a year into, I was like, hey, this is actually going somewhere. I probably should change it to something more relevant. Uh-huh. So I changed that. My Instagram was the same way. I started as running hoe and then eventually transitioned to smoking hoe right around the same time.
And how did you get in on anybody's radar? Did you start meeting other people that were into barbecue? How did you start, when did you start building a momentum or know that, you know, people were starting to pay attention to what I'm doing?
No, it was probably a few months in because my first review was Franklin, but no one read it. I can't remember my first couple of reviews. I mean, I can look it up. But the review that kind of got some traction was the one from Mickleweight. And Daniel, I think, retweeted it. But he shared, or I know at least he shared it on the Texas Monthly Barbecue News that he does every bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Or bi-monthly. And then I remember because he was like, the Smoking Hill reviewed Mickleweight. And that's his real name or that's his name or whatever. Like, and that, you know, when I sometimes think about like, why did I pick that name, but you know, it worked out.
It does work out and it stands out. It's unique. So that must have been that was a cool moment. Like it was almost like, in a way, a lot of people idolize Daniel Vaughn because, you know, at least idolize him in the respect that they want to do what he's doing. And so that was probably a really cool moment. When did you actually end up meeting him?
I met him at Getting Sauce. You know, Man Up Texas Barbecue used to put that event every year. And it was, I can't remember what it was, at Hops and Grain. It was one of the breweries, and he was there signing his book. And so, you know, I bought his book already. And so I was like, I wanted to see the other sign. So I brought it to him. That's when we met. And I think that's where our, you know, friendship relationship developed at that time.
So when did you, as you were going around, were you kind of primarily staying within the Austin area, or were you doing jaunts out to to Dallas or to Houston? Were you going other places at the time?
I was definitely, well, so at the time, so the Texas Monthly Top 50 came out in 2013. So I was trying to hit a lot of that list, and obviously a lot of lists is all over Texas. So designated road trips, I can't remember really. I would make, if we travel, I would try to make a point to find a way to go to one along the way. Because I know my parents live in Houston or the Katy area. And so every time we go there, I would try to hit it once. So, you know, oh yeah, I mean, like we went to see Justin Timberlake one year, so we went to Gatlin's and Burgie's that same weekend. I know we went to Dallas because I wanted to go to Pecan Lodge. So, I mean, I think a lot of it actually was us traveling, and then barbecue was kind of secondary.
And what were you – you weren't working for AT&T at this time. You had the transition, right?
Yes. I stopped working at AT&T. I've been at Progressive since 2010. So it's going to be 8 years and like probably 20 days or so.
Okay.
So it's probably long. I don't think I foresee myself going anywhere. Yeah, I have a normal 8-to-5. It's not necessarily 8-to-5, but I work a pretty traditional schedule. I have a normal job. I love working at Progressive. I don't think I'll ever leave.
So you're able to work a little bit from home? Are you able to kind of or orchestrate your schedule? Because there are days during the week that you do go off on barbecue journeys and run. So are you able to kind of make that work, or is it mostly, I know it's a lot of times, like if I want to get a hold of you on the weekend, you're off barbecue hunting.
Well, because I try to eat barbecue all the time.
Yeah.
No, my job is pretty flexible. I can shift my schedule the way I want to shift it for most part. Sometimes I actually have to close. So on those days, I know that my mornings and early afternoon is free. So that's when you'll see me taking off on a Friday or Thursday to go eat barbecue. So, and then during the traditional week where I just work a normal schedule, I can take longer lunches if I need to. And then that, those are the days I, you know, sometimes sneak in Franklin on an hour-ish lunch. So,
when did you purchase a new camera and when did you end up even jumping further into it? Was it at the time when you were doing more stuff potentially with Texas Monthly for the?
No. So I've always wanted a camera. So my mother-in-law got me a camera for Christmas.
Okay.
Here, I want to say 2014 or the, no, it had to be, yeah, winter of 2013. Because at the time, I remembered every picture I took for my blog was on my iPhone. And so I've always wanted a camera, and that's when she got it. I think the reason why I wanted it was not necessarily for the blog. Yes, it was definitely helpful to have for the blog, but I think I wanted it because we started to travel at the same time. So I wanted to take, you know, landscape or, you know, shots of our vacation.
For sure.
And since then, I've upgraded my camera twice. So I got a newer camera probably 2 years ago. And then last year I switched again. So I started with a Canon like T3i, and then I went to Canon 70D, and now for the last year-ish I've used a Fuji X-T20.
And what do you think of that? Do you like that camera?
I love it a lot. I wanted to go mirrorless because it's a lot smaller, and it's great for vacation because it's not as heavy, it's not as bulky, and doesn't stand out. Because I remember when I took the Canon to Europe 1 year, it was probably about this deep, and so it was cold. So when people like, hey, you should probably put it in your jacket in case someone tries to steal it, and so it would just stick out very far. So that's one reason I transitioned to a mirrorless camera.
Okay, cool.
That's deep. So
all right, well, I'll put a link to the cameras you mentioned, the interior camera too, so that way people can, if they're interested, they can check it out, because that's, so you recommend it for what you're doing and what you like to do. It's a good camera for you. How did the Texas Monthly connection, did they reach out to you? Were you going to places and so you said, hey, you know, I'm going to be heading here? How did that work out?
I would talk to Daniel every once in a while, and so the list came out last year, so it's 2017. So 10 times in the middle of 16, I was like, hey, I think you guys are starting to work on this. If you ever need help, let me know. And he reached out, probably the week before they're all going to meet, after the Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest. Hey, can you be at this meeting? And it was Halloween, and I work at Progressive, so I dressed up as Flo that year. And so I showed up to their meeting wearing a Flo costume, and everyone was like, who the hell is this guy? But yeah, I mean, they just invited me on board, and that's where it went from there.
Was it the meeting that I've heard about at Texas Monthly Magazine at their office?
Yes.
Was that where Daniel kind of describe what they're looking for, and they had the sheet? Yeah, I've heard from a couple people. Well, I think I've heard from Pat Sharp, and then somebody else had mentioned too about it. That would have been, how many people were there? Do you remember?
Maybe 20, maybe. So I mean, yeah, what expectation you would be looking for, you know, in brisket ribs. So they brought in barbecue that day, and Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest was the previous day. And so normally after a day like that, I don't want to eat barbecue the next day, but, you know, they put it in front of me. What am I going to do? Yeah. Say no. So I think it was Terry Black's, Valentina's, and I can't remember the third place. There was three places. So for an idea of where everyone stood, JC Reed was there too. So yeah. And then at that point we were assigned regions.
Yeah. I was going to ask who you assigned specific regions.
Yeah. My region was somewhere north of San Antonio.
Okay.
But that all changed later. So I ended up getting Houston, which was probably the biggest region.
How did that? And so how many places, is that a story to why you got Houston, or is that just you were going out so much that they said, hey, you should take?
Well, I think part of it, Daniel did respect my opinion and trusted my opinion. Uh-huh. So I assigned probably an important region. And then I think JC at the point was the one who had the region, but I think he didn't want to do it I think there was a conflict of interest there because his ties to the Houston area, which I get.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so I started to do that. That was my region. I actually didn't even start because this was in October when this is your region. Do whatever you want to. You just had to do it by like February something. Okay. I can't remember exact date. So we left for – was that the year? I'm pretty sure – yeah. So we left for Spain right around Thanksgiving for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, once I come back, I need to start doing this. So on so the first weekend in January is when I started to do my barbecue runs to Houston. We did on average anywhere from 7 to 10 a weekend.
Wow.
So I took my wife with me. So we took our dog, one of our dogs, and 7 to 10. So I think I ultimately ate, I can't remember. I want to say I ate at 52 places, but they're not all in Houston though.
Mm-hmm.
I would say about 40 something was from Houston because I ended up taking a few places in Victoria and then another stop elsewhere. It added up to 50 something.
And what did anybody recognize you or know that you were coming?
I think a lot of people realize it pretty quickly. Because if they follow me on social media, it's like, why is he eating at so many places in Houston? And why is he eating at these places that no one really eats at? So I think people caught him pretty quickly once I ate. Probably after this first, getting there for the second weekend, people probably realized pretty quickly that what I was doing.
And did were there any? Do you remember any ones that you found that you think that maybe it was because of your visit that they got on the list or got in the top 10, or were they all already on the radar of Daniel and Patton?
There were. So we were given a list, and I can stray from the list. I only strayed from a few places, but for the most part, I think everyone knew.
Okay.
Actually, who was going to be in contention?
And did you feel like when you went to the say Tejas or Corkscrew, like did you know after your visits, yeah, these guys are going to be in the top 10?
I actually didn't get Tejas first because it was a weird region because I got most of Houston, but then like those outer area rims of Houston I didn't get.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So Tejas wasn't one of them because I've only eaten at Tejas once and it was fabulous. But yeah, I think when I ate at Corkscrew, it was like definitely top 10 worthy. So, you know, I gave my recommendations for the top 10 and then Daniel and Pat went to other places to make sure, you know, my judgment wasn't off or they had just a fantastic or super day.
Yeah, no, I think that was something that they've mentioned too, that they had to, once someone highlighted a place highly, they decided they had to go, you know, for the last, at least one more time to justify it because it's a very big deal. When the issue came out, because I know that a lot of brands and people have contacted you since then. You now work with restaurants or work with brands. Was that something that happened prior to the Texas Monthly coming out, or did that happen after?
I think it happened. So what was my first? It's probably happened before then because at the time my Instagram started growing, and then a lot of brands reached. You know, they find you on social media somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But brands started reaching out to me probably a lot sooner. A lot of them weren't good fits. So, you know, of all my emails, I get tons of emails, like probably 3 or 4 or 5 a day. People reach out trying to do something with me and
pitching something, right?
Yes. And I decline probably a fifth of them because it doesn't make sense most of the time. Although sometimes I would do it like, hey, I'm going to send you socks. It doesn't fit, but I love your socks. Because there's products I would use, there are products I do use. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, why not? But it doesn't make sense.
And you're always completely transparent about that. So that's great. That's something that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that irks me a lot because I know a lot of people on social media are getting free meals and free stuff and they're not disclosing it. So I'm like, should I trust your judgment or not? Or is this just, you know, because you got it for free, you're posting it. So I always try to use sponsored or ad or invited or something clear that, hey, this meal was.
Yeah, and if it does state that and you do love it, that makes it even. I think that even solidifies the brand's value. I think when you do let people know, hey, this is sponsored. However, it kicks ass. It's really good. I wanted to ask, like, one of my notes was that I wanted to ask for tips for barbecue runs for people that obviously aren't necessarily going to get into like to the status of what you're doing, but like people that just want to go on barbecue runs in general. What would you recommend, like, for pacing themselves or should you map out, like, specifically map out prior to going, because you know, some places like Houston are pretty spread, or Dallas are pretty spread out. In Austin, you could hit a lot of places maybe in a tight. So what do you recommend?
Well, I think it does require a little bit planning. For me, the only thing I really plan is when the places could potentially run out. And then, so just kind of map where you're going. You know, always get there early if you can before the line builds. Because when you think about it, you know, if you spend an hour, if you get there an hour early and there's already a huge line and you have to wait another hour after it opens, why not just get there 2 hours early? Because then at that point, you're out the door. If you don't meet with people or talk with people or take pictures, you could be out there within 20 or be out the door within 20 to 30 minutes.
That's a good point.
And
That's a good point.
so plan it that way for sure. So find out, you know, what's the earliest you can get there or the latest you can get there and still be relatively in front of the line. So find out about that. Always, and then map the drive, the next drive, because we can factor in that time spent in the car. Because I think a lot of people just think, okay, so this place opens at 11, next place is open at 11, just run across, but just you gotta have to plan that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then do have maybe alternatives. I always have a plan B. Do I always need it? Probably not, but I always have a plan B just in case places run out or something else gets in the way. Or maybe I want to add a stop because I want to eat burger or tacos from somewhere else. So.
And is it, do you recommend bringing someone with you so that way you're not ingesting all the food yourself, because that makes it really difficult.
So my wife doesn't love barbecue at this point. Can't imagine why. So ideally having an eating partner helps. Because what you're typically, if you're going to mess it up, you're going to mess it up on the first stop because you're starving.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm gonna order all this. And then, you know what? This is really good. I'm just gonna continue eating. And then you're like, oh, you screwed yourself there. So, but definitely pacing. I typically try to stay to maybe one or two bites of everything.
Do you bring a cooler with you?
I definitely bring, yes, this is not endorsed by Yeti, but I have Yeti products. And so I have quite a few Yeti coolers. So depending on if I know I go four stops or more, you know, it dictates what cooler size I'll bring. Because I do eat a ton of leftover barbecue because what I should post what I eat in a week on my Instagram or my Twitter or something on social
That'd be
media because
fun.
I eat 4 to 5 salads a week, but they're all complemented with, or I guess barbecue is the meat on the side.
Oh,
So
that's
leftovers.
great. That would be unique and really cool. I think people would appreciate that, because it's a good way, because that's something too with these barbecue road trips, and especially how popular barbecue is what do you do with the leftovers? Like, what is that? And do you should people shouldn't, you know, be throwing out the food, or just they or just ordering little, you'll bring it home. That's a great.
Yeah, I always try to overorder. Well, a part of it's because now Instagram, I think, drives my order a little bit. So I try to over order so it looks a little bit better. Because I mean, a slice of brisket, a slice of ribs, a slice of sausage doesn't look that awesome. So
It's kind of
now
meager. Yes.
I'm going to order 1/2 pound, maybe 1 pound of brisket, a few, you know, a few bones of ribs, and maybe definitely more than just three meats. So. And throwing sides in that, I think sides and desserts is probably a reason why I've gained weight since Texas month. I've gained at least 16 pounds since then.
Wow.
Because you eat so much barbecue, does it get tiring a little bit? So you're not, you get a little fatigue with it. So you start looking at the sides a little bit more and desserts. So it's like, oh, I love banana pudding. So, and mac and cheese, all that, all the carby stuff. And so that's probably where my weight is being gained. Plus, because I order the sides, I'm more inclined to eat all the sides then and then take the meat home. Because the
That's true.
sides really last for many days.
No.
So you got to be smart about it. Definitely, if you can find a companion, a couple companions, probably the best. So you guys share everything. If not, I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking it home
Yeah.
and
And that's the,
just.
if you have like four people, you can get a massive tray. That does. But also too, like you're like a lot of times when I see what you're posting, it looks like you're eating for four people, but it's you pretty do bring it home. Do you have any tips for people? Do you recommend shooting outside too, like taking photos outside? Is that
I always plan how I'm gonna shoot one before I get there. Always try to find a, you know, have to have patio or an outdoor seating. Natural light is always better. If you can't get seating outside, definitely try to put it by the window. So
and contrasting colors, because I know that like Truth does a great job of setting up their platter, and like certain places do, but also the contrasting colors is important, right, for people shooting.
Yeah, I think the tray from Truth, fully loaded, it's probably one of the best pictures you can take. So that's why don't be wasteful. Don't grab a ton of pickles. You need that green in that picture. But don't bring, grab a handful and not eat any of it.
For
Try to
sure.
eat all of it you can, because remember, this is not free to the pit masters or the owners of the restaurant.
Yeah,
Onions,
just for your photo. You had
just for photo, it's kind of selfish when you think about it.
Yeah.
Definitely have onions because you need the white a little bit to kind of balance everything out. And then try to not to order meat. I mean, I think back then I used to order meat only and think the focus on barbecue is the meat. But I think you have to look at the big picture. A lot of places spend time and money in R&D to, bring out these fantastic sides and
For sure.
desserts. Eat them. Plus, they definitely give you color. So, I love, once again, mac and cheese. Collard greens give good color as well. I think what Ray Riggles does a Texas, was it? I can't, black eyed peas or whatever
Oh,
they do.
yeah. I've seen that.
What, I don't know what he calls it. Oh, Texas caviar. So it's black eyed peas and like tomatoes and whatever he throws in there. And so that gives good color. And the banana pudding or any dessert also kind of gives it a little bit more depth as well.
Well, that's true. That's great tips. That's actually really cool, because no one that I've talked to has mentioned that, and that's important for people. And it's not everyone is sharing theirs with 10, 20,000 people, but people are sharing it with their family, or they just want it to look cool and look fun. Like it's enticing. And also, I think the restaurants do appreciate it. They understand the importance of social media.
Yeah, sometimes I don't get why places open and it's all dark inside. I'm like, people want to probably take pictures if it's good. So you might want to think about, lighting or natural lighting or big windows or something to, like Rego's house. It's so dark in there, so I always have to take it outside. But thank goodness he has, seating outside, so you can definitely take it outside.
Do you like pastrami? Do you get pastrami at places?
Yeah, I love pastrami. I mean, I love all meaty things. His pastrami is really good.
Yeah,
I
whenever
think
I
I'm,
think of Regals, I think of pastrami. I don't know why.
yeah, like one of my favorite pictures I've taken is his pastrami. And
I think I remember that.
it's great. They're gonna be at Red Dirt, so that's one thing I'm doing this weekend is traveling over at Red Dirt. So
I'm jealous. That looks so great. That's sold out too, I think, right? How many times have you gone to the Red Dirt Festival?
This is my second time this year, so I've only been once. So I went 2 years ago, and the last time we went, last time it was held, it was my wife's birthday weekend. So I was like, I'm not going to subject her to it. So we went to Destin, Florida instead. So this year she's coming with me. I had a fantastic time. But the thing with going the first time was I didn't stay for the music. I just really ate the barbecue and just drove back to Dallas to hang out with her and her friend. But this year I definitely want to stay. Pat Green's playing. It's funny because when we first started dating, we saw Pat Green like two or three times.
Oh, that's cool.
And then she's kind of made friends with a lot of the barbecue wives in, I guess, made friends a lot with the barbecue wives
That's
and
nice.
hang out with them. So it's a lot nicer and easier for me to go to barbecue events, where because she can socialize and do, whatever she wants to do.
Well, because the people, and that's something too that people need to know, is that the owners of these restaurants and the pit master, so to speak, they're really great people, the husbands and wives. And there's a lot of times it is a husband and a wife running this. So that's kind of nice how I've noticed in like photos from Facebook and things that you've had that you guys are taking photos with them. And it seems like it's you're creating relationships, which that's what this is all about, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely more than just the food. I think in the beginning I didn't realize that a whole lot. It's all about the barbecue, but there is always a backstory how they got there. It makes you definitely appreciate the hard work and time they put in these into their restaurant or into their business. And so, I guess it's one way of showing appreciation is by eating their food and then probably acknowledging that and, including it in whatever story you write or whatever review you write, and then maybe building these relationships. Because I mean, I do talk to quite a few of them, on the outside, and I'm friends with quite a few of them as well.
Yeah, and same with me, and that means a lot. And it's nice because when you do visit the restaurant, you get a chance to hopefully see them if they're in, and and reconnect. And these people, what's the places that are putting out high quality barbecue every day, that is really, really difficult to do it on a consistent basis. And so I have such respect for them, and it's nice, you know, I think that with all that hard work, it's nice to have people appreciate them and you know, show them how much you care. Well, then, so now, what do you see for the future of the Smoke and Ho? what do you see? Do you see that something? Do you think that's something that you can do? Would you like to do this full time? Is that something that you would love to do?
Well,
I know you love Progressive, and you're enjoying your job there.
Yeah, I enjoy stability. I think I'm at a point where
that's a great quote.
I'm not a young chicken in any by any means, and so it would be more of a risk. I mean, am I a risk taker? I am at certain times. But at this point in my life, unless it's lucrative or it pays really well, I don't foresee myself. Because it's not that I don't want to hustle, but I don't want to hustle at my age. If I, you know, I've noticed a lot of the bloggers or Instagrammers out there who are, you know, in their early 20s or late 20s even, who are hustling and, you know, going on these media trips and whatnot. And I really have no interest in that because, you know, I'm married. I'm sort of tied down and I'm not going to go anywhere. And if we have kids, it's going to be hard.
It'll make it harder, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to be on the road. So, I mean, this is a hobby. I get paid every once in a while. I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. If I get, you know, maybe start getting photo gigs, that'll be cool. But other than that, I don't see this viable in the long term for sure.
Are you still connected to Texas Monthly, or is it something that they'll reach out when the time comes for the next top 50?
I mean, I would assume they'll reach out because I've used it, you know, they've used me once. Mm-hmm. So hopefully when the next list comes out that I'll be included in the team, but, you know, we'll see.
So are there any spots that you haven't been to or places that you're looking forward to going in the next couple of weeks or next couple months?
I don't think I'm going to any new places anytime soon. Because, I mean, we have a pretty busy Mesa Red Dirt this weekend. So I'm going to hit up Bodacious, actually Bodacious Mobley and Bodacious Hallsville. And then next weekend, I think my wife wants to celebrate her birthday. Her birthday is actually in the middle of the week of this week or this coming week. So we might celebrate next weekend. And then we're going to Houston to see Hamilton and to see an Astro and Indians game.
Oh, cool.
So I might go eat barbecue there. I really want to go to Fiji's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're open Monday through Friday, it might be hard because we're leaving Friday afternoon and I don't think we're going to get there in time. I really want to try Willow's new spot. And then at the end of the month, we're going back to Houston because we have Justin Timberlake tickets. But my brother-in-law might be having his kid then, so we might be going back to Lubbock, which means another trip to Heavy Maze. It's hard. I mean, I know there's other barbecue places in Lubbock, but it's hard not to go there. I mean, I guess the equivalent of Franklin and Lubbock. And mm-hmm. If you can not wait for very long for, you know, this plate of awesome barbecue, I mean, it's hard to pass.
You got a decent line at Evie Maze, right? Is it Evie Maze? It's Evie, right?
Yeah. I used to call it Evie Maze. It's called Evie Maze.
Evie Maze, yes. We've said it so many times, it's like a little advertisement. do they have like about a half hour line, hour line?
Well, it depends what time you get there. If you get there before opening, probably 30 minutes. But if you get there probably after 11:30 or if not later, it could be 1 or 2 hours. When they first made the list, I think the lines were about 2 hours.
And everything, a lot of the places, once when the list came out, they were packed, at least especially that summer.
Yeah, because everyone was on that, you know, Yeti Passport train. But I think for the most part, all the big prizes are redeemed. And so I don't know what they're expecting. I mean, obviously there's going to be some summer traffic, but I don't know what they're expecting this year.
But it was good to put people on the map. I think it was important that now they're destinations for people. And it was interesting. I interviewed Daniel about he did a barbecue city guide for Dallas, and he was saying, you know, there is a Texas Monthly Top 50, but there's a lot of other great barbecue outside of that. It's just that they had, you know, Top 50 is Top 50, but. And that's how that's I've noticed from your photo. You go everywhere.
Yeah, I try to go everywhere. I mean, I like stuff that didn't make the top 50. I'm still going to go, especially with social media. I mean, Daniel said this, but I always quote him because, I mean, I think he said that he can judge a barbecue place probably 90% of their food by just looking at a picture. And so with social media, when you look at their picture, like, Yeah, I probably eat there. So, including all those places or all the places people have been to that I'm jealous that I haven't been to. So, I'm definitely including those. So, I still have. So, my plan was to finish all top 50, to eat the top 50 again after the list came out. I have 10 more. But so, I do need to eat those 10, but there's quite a few other places you want to check out as well.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time and sharing your story, because I think that it's you're oh, I got Alexa, no. and sharing your story, because I know a lot of people, they see your Instagram, they'll see your Twitter feed, they just and it's nice to put a face to that, and also just a backstory to it, because it's you're I think that your photos are some of the best that I've seen, and I just and I love your story. So and I followed your blog prior to kind of getting to know you, so I appreciate everything you do, and we all do appreciate it, because it's it's cool stuff, and we all dig barbecue, and I hope you have a great time at the Red Dirt Festival.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fantastic, I think. Hopefully, there's no rain. We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully that way. Well, enjoy, and I think isn't Bodacious closed on Saturday? I think I just saw something.
Yeah, they tweeted that. But yeah, I'm going tomorrow. So
Oh,
I'm
cool.
leaving tomorrow. So yeah, tomorrow we're leaving the house probably like 5 a.m., which my wife doesn't love. But I don't know what if she's going to go with me or if I'm just going to drop off in Tyler and go on like just two-stop run and then.
Awesome. We'll say hi to Brian and to Jordan. That's awesome.
I will.
Excellent. Well, have a great weekend.
You too.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Jordan.